Well, tonight we're going to talk about MAP Ministry for a few minutes, and this is called a MAP Ministry mini step. Now, for us on Wednesday night, during most of the year, STEP Ministry stands for Spiritual Training and Equipping Process, and we're training our people how to do the work of God. We're training our people in the Word of God. We're training people in a walk with God, in a worldview, a biblical worldview. And so sometimes, not all that often, but sometimes on Sunday nights, I take a few minutes in the service and do training on something that is significant to me and helpful to you, right? So tonight, we're going to talk about MAP Ministry. We have our reception for Brother Kyle, welcome reception following tonight. We start this together, this year process, less than a year, of helping Brother Kyle and serving him for that next step in his life and ministry. So really my purpose is to prepare you for what God has for us together to enjoy. Well, I would say that theological education has its place. But theological education, while it has its place, also has its limitations. Because theological education is distant from the reality of day-to-day life and ministry. And so while it, again, is very important, it is incomplete. And so what we want to do and what we have done for numbers of men, and we want to share this with Brother Kyle Snyder, is we want to be a bridge that takes from theological education, theological student, to ministry practitioner. And we do so through actual live ministry in the local church with God's people. And so I want to prepare you for your part in MAP Ministry. A few words about it. MAP Ministry, that's Ministry Apprenticeship Program, is relational. It's this is not something that we do as a staff. Now, our church staff is involved, right? Intimately involved in this. But it isn't just something that the church guys do. This is something that we do. In fact, everyone, look to your left and look to your right. Do you see the people beside you? Those are people that are part of training in MAP Ministry. Every one of them. It's all of us working together. It's immersing somebody in the life and body of a church. And it's people, each of you, in some way making a relational investment in the individual that God sends. This year, it's Brother Kyle Snyder. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, would you commit yourself? Here we are in August. MAP Ministry goes through June. Would you make a commitment that you will invest in the resident? So it may mean throughout the year you're going to get meals. And you're going to have meals. Invite them to share a meal, to share a meal at your home, to go out with you. It may mean that your family is going to go do something. You're going to go invite that resident to be with you and do it. Maybe your class is doing something. Whatever's going on, that you involve and invest relationally. For many of you, you're going to share with that individual with expertise that you have or experience that you have. And you're sharing your life, and you're going to help that man, Kyle in this case, become far more prepared because of interacting with you and you investing your life in him. His challenge is to invest in you as well, right? So that's one thing to consider. Another thing I want you to consider is intentional. Because throughout the year, we are involving our lives together, and we make a very clear effort to not just let our residents watch what happens or do it for us. See, that's one of the dangers. Sometimes people will say in internships, if you call it that, will say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to step back and let that intern do it for us. And if that's your idea, get that out of your mind. Can you erase that from your mind? Because this is, we don't have residents to do ministry for us. We have residents to do ministry with us. I'll say that again. We don't have residents to do ministry for us. We have residents to do ministry
with us.
You're on fire. Yeah. So what happens is then, as you're doing ministry in your class, you're doing ministry ushering, you're doing ministry with media, you're doing ministry nursery, whatever it is that you're involved in some way, that resident is doing this with us, and you're sharing with that resident how to do what you've done. You're sharing how you've just messed up and you could have done better in a formal way. There are forms that everything that happens that our residents fill out that teach them to think and evaluate and healthy critical thinking. And I know Wednesday night I shared with our adult Bible class leaders and kids Sunday school teachers one of the formal things that we do where our resident, for example, will go to each class and we'll have 2 or 3 weeks in each class. And there's a form that he fills out on that class and the leaders and teachers in that class. And then the leader in that class fills on him, gives ministry and how he did and helps to improve and encourage those things that are great and really help improve things that need to be improved. And so this is just part of the process that makes us very intentional as we work with men. So with the process of it then, you'll want to do this. Anytime you're involved in some way with the resident, you want to train them. You want to explain some things about what is happening, what you're doing. Then after you do that, you're going to assign a task. And different ways this will be done in different kinds of ministry. But all of us in some way can do this, in some more formal ways than others. Then after that ministry is done, you debrief. Okay, what did you learn? What needed to be improved? What could you have done better? What was good? And then you reassign, and you go through this process of always learning and growing and improving. And we are part of doing that with our residents. Now, I'm going to give you an assignment. All right. Here's your assignment. And it really stems out of, because one of the great blessings with having Brother Kyle with us this year is that he's from our own family. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm so grateful for it. But now when this is home for you, this is your church family, that also has some concerns, right? From my standpoint, what I don't want to do is, because he's one of our own family, that we don't treat him as well as we would a guest. Does that make sense? So we need to make sure we treat him well, and we don't want to treat him differently than any other resident. We'll be as nice as we can be and need to be, and we'll be as difficult with him as we need to be, right? Sometimes that's part of it. So here, but one of Brother Kyle's concerns is that because it's home, and it's really, really one of mine too, is that this is very comfortable for him. Does that make sense? Now, here's your assignment. Are you ready? I want every one of you to do your part in this assignment. Your assignment over the next 10 and a half months is to make Kyle Snyder as uncomfortable as possible. You might even need to be harder on him than you would any other resident. And if he isn't doing it well, tell him. It'll be good for him, right? But, and because, you know, all of our, really, residents over time, because, and I've watched you do this now for a dozen men, I guess. And I've watched you do this, and you all have done such a beautiful job of loving these residents, and they become endeared to us, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, the blessing is that we already love Kyle. We didn't have to learn to love him because we've already come to love him, right? And respect him. And that's a blessing. But because we love him, sometimes we may not do the hard thing because we just love him, right? So would you please do everything you can to make him uncomfortable? Stretch him, correct him. I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm just talking about being honest and helping him. Because how many of you know that in your life, the times when you're stretched and you're pulled out of your comfort zone and you're most uncomfortable become some of the great growth times in your life? And what we want to do is when this map year is over, we want to look back and we want Brother Kyle Snyder to say, boy, I really grew as a person and was stretched as a person. How many of you can see the concern that I might have for that and his concern for it, okay? Now, there are a few other things that I have prepared to say, but you aren't going to believe this. I am not going to say them. It doesn't happen all that often. Can I also, we're going to pray and take a minute and pray for Brother Kyle this year and pray for us because we do this together, all of us. And it's a wonderful investment that we are making. Thank you for your personal efforts in the investment. This is all made possible because the grace of God through generosity, as you give by faith, those offerings for Faith Promise, those funds in part pay for this, to do something for a young man that education cannot do, that only the local church can do. And you make it possible. And I say thank you for making the financial investment as well as the personal investment in our residents. And I'm going to say thank you in advance because I know you're going to rise to the occasion and really step it up and be a blessing to Brother Kyle Snyder. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask God's blessing on him and all of us as we share this year together. And of course, Anna, he'll be married. The plan is right now in January. And, you know, I told him the other day he's a trailblazer. He was a trailblazer of Sprint Ministry. We've never had a resident get married in the middle of the year. So that will be a new adventure for him, for all of us. And we're working through it, and it'll be good. So we want to pray for them, all right? So let's go to the Lord. Lord, thank you that you have led your body at Stanley Heights to be part of this kind of ministry that helps men. And I'm grateful to you for it. I'm grateful to you for the people of this congregation who sacrificially give so that the gospel is preached all over the world, but they sacrificially give to have an impact in lives through leadership training like this that has impact beyond what we could imagine. We thank you, O God, for your grace that saves and sanctifies, and your grace that empowers the sacrifice of our lives for others' sake. We now ask that you would help us. As a congregation, we want to do everything we can to bless Brother Kyle this year. And help us, Lord, to be wise, to be the encouraging friends, to correct when needed, to be a challenge. And so help us, we pray. Help him as you're working in his life and the burdens of the assignments that he has to complete in his life. We pray, Lord, that you would gird him up in it and bring about the transformation that you have in his life so that he can be well prepared for your service. And then, of course, this year, the plan that is laid out is for Anna to be married to him and then for them to share this together. And so we pray, God, for your leadership even in that and your help. And so we commit the MAP year to you and to our brother Kyle Snyder, to your grace and care. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I had just one more song that I could sing you, one more story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross.
I could sing about the state of grace I live in, and the peace and joy I have when times are tough. And you'd see in all the blessings I've been given,
in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I've found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering, something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why. But now I know the cross means everything, and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross.
Words about the cross. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. One of the words that the Mims family just sang is bittersweet. All of which are true, aren't they? So tonight I want us to close our time together in the book of Galatians, where three different times we are told about a crucified life, a life that is lived with the cross becoming a reality for we who are followers of the Lord. Turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 2 for the first of the three passages we will address tonight. In the power of a crucified life, Galatians chapter 2. So having been reminded of the cross is not a place of weakness. It's a place of strength. And so tonight, let's talk for these few minutes about the power of a crucified life and bring our day of worship to a close. I want you to notice first the call to a crucified life. You've turned in the book of Galatians. Go to verse 20 of chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This is one of those scriptures that really are good for us to memorize for spiritual warfare. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's lift our voices and read the scriptures together. Where the Bible says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When I die to self, do I lose power? Well, yes and no. In one sense, when I die to self and you die to self, we lose the power of control. But even that, isn't that an illusion in some ways, the power of control? So much in life we can't control. But when we die to self, we do not lose. In fact, I lose my power, that is the power of my control. But in reality, when you and I die to self, we gain His power. So that the apostle reminds us that when we're crucified with Christ, even though we are still living, it's really the crucified life. It's not my life being lived. It is living broken of self so that Christ's life is lived through me. His life is the empowering. Is there a cost? Absolutely, there is a cost. And the cost is to die to self. We're reminded that our Lord loves us. He made the sacrifice for us. And so we die to ourselves, even as Jesus died to His own self-will to fulfill the will of the Father. And we die to self. And in dying to self, we then depend upon Him so that His life is lived through us. Isn't that wonderful? Did you know God calls you to a crucified life? The call to a crucified life. Well, then there's another portion of Scripture in the book of Galatians that talks to us about the crucified life. It's Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, and then we will consider together through verse 26. In Galatians chapter 5, there's God tells us about the plan for a crucified life. What does it look like to live a crucified life? Well, God's plan begins with a promise. And I'm so glad God does it this way. He begins with this promise. Look in your Bible, verse 16 of Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you mean that I can be free from the control and the consequences of my flesh? Yes. Absolutely. Christ has the power to free. And in fact, the promise is that if you will walk in the Spirit, that God will give you His power to liberate you from the power of your flesh. Wow. Now, it's not just rainbows and daffodils and unicorns, though. Mm-mm. And so in this passage, with this promise, God tells us as well about the struggle that we all experience. The reality of those struggles are described for us in verses 17 and 18. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And isn't that true? Do you know that struggle? And there are things that I know I want to do, but my flesh fights against me. And there are things that God wants me to do, and my flesh fights against me. And I know this flesh, the struggle that takes place in my heart. But we're told, verse 18, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The Spirit has the power to free you. But then we're told the results of the struggle as well. Now, verses 19 to 21 are pretty well known. These are the works of the flesh. That is, what would happen if there were absolutely no constraints and people could do anything they wanted to do without consequence? What would the world look like? In some ways, it might look like some of the our great American cities have looked over the last few weeks. But believe me, it would make Portland or Seattle or Chicago or New York, or choose whichever place, it would make it look like a paradise. if in every place in this country and around the world, people could just do anything they wanted to do without constraint and just let the flesh go to do anything the flesh wanted to do. We read about what it would look like. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's a great word, isn't it? It means that I live to do anything I want to do. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. That's people acting out uncontrollably without regard for anything or anybody else. Today we call those peaceful protests. That's the Greek word, peaceful protest. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, that's what happens when people just live without any restraint. But oh, what a difference it is when God the Holy Spirit controls a person's life. What does it look like when God the Holy Spirit is in control of a person's life? Learning to yield to His control and His enabling power. Well, we're told about this in verse 22 and then verse 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you lived a world, had a world that the fruit of the Spirit was controlling, you really could defund the police. But the world in which we live is really dominated by the works of the flesh, isn't it? So that's the result of the struggle that takes place. Now let me ask you this. Which do you want? Do you want a life that is controlled by the works of the Spirit, or do you want a life that is controlled by the works or the fruit or the works, excuse me, the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Which one do you want to have? And if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit, where God the Spirit is controlling your life and He is transforming your life, and these dimensions of a Spirit-controlled life are not just something you dream about and read about in the Bible and say, oh, if only that were possible, these can become reality, then we're told about the path to God's power so that this can become reality for every one of us. And we are told about this beginning in verse 24 when God says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, how do you become a person who in your life there's a reality of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith? How does that become reality? Do you know how it becomes reality? It comes a reality by, verse 25, walking in the Spirit, step by step. It's the, maybe we'll call it this way, the spiritual two-step. Verse 25 is the first step. To crucify, look at your Bible again. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And when you read affections and lusts, think this way. Affections are my selfish emotions. But I can't control my emotions. Wait a minute. Did you know that our emotions must be crucified? And lusts are our selfish desires. So you crucify self. That's the first step, but the second step of the life transformational two-step is to walk in dependence in the Holy Spirit. So verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And it's so easy because every one of us walked in tonight. Some of us walked in on two legs. Some of us walked in on three. Some of us walked in on six. Maybe you rolled in. I can't see if anyone has a wheelchair tonight. But however many steps you brought, or feet you brought in, you did it step by step by step, and you depended from one step, shifting all your weight to the next step and then to the next step. And each one of those steps, you got closer and closer and closer to making it in the building and closer to your seat. And after we're done tonight, each step will take you closer and closer to the refreshments we'll enjoy. Step by step. And to have your life transformed, it isn't by leaps, it's by steps. And each step, I die to self. And then that next step, I depend on God the Holy Spirit to help me, to empower me. And then I die to self, and I keep taking a step of faith and dependence on Him. Consciously, daily, regularly, step of death to self, crucifying my own desires and my own affections and putting them on the altar before God, in a sense, putting them on the cross and crucified with Him, and then depending on the Holy Spirit, and God then transforms your life as His life is lived through you. Well, there's a call to a crucified life, and God gives a plan for the crucified life, and the plan actually ends in verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. It really is a change of focus. Because really, it's not about me. It's about the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as your focus in life is on you, my friend, you're going to miss it. But when it all becomes about a life that is given to Him, crucified with Christ, when you make that change and that becomes the priority of your life, then all of a sudden, God begins to transform your life. And it brings us to the third passage in the book of Galatians that talks about the crucified life. It's in the last chapter of the book, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. You probably need to just turn your page there. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Hey, do you have something to brag about? I guess there's a lot of things we could all brag about, I guess. But if there's anything to brag about, here's something to brag about. To glory and brag about the cross. What Jesus has done for you through that cross. And the change of focus that brings us to the reality that we are free from the pull of the world. So that the world is crucified unto me, and I'm crucified unto the world. All of us know the spiritual enemy of the world that pulls at the flesh and pulls at us. And whenever we come to a crucified life and we realize that my life is not about me, and I find glory in a life crucified for Christ, that world that is so powerful, the pull begins to fade. And we become free. Don't you want to be free? Let's say together Galatians 2:20. If you need to turn in your Bible to it, you can. If you happen to have it memorized, I'm sure you'll be able to lift it up with me. Are you ready? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And let's say it together. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Can you say amen, church? Would you stand with me, and we're going to pray and be dismissed to our fellowship time. And I want to welcome Brother Kyle as our resident this year. As we pray, can I ask you to pray about a specific issue that is things that are taking place in America today with religious liberty? There's, of course, if you have watched in the news, there have been numbers of states that are seeking to limit freedom of religious expression, right? There's a well-known church, John MacArthur and Grace Community Church in California, that has been very much in the news. I got a text from some guys from the Tennessee Independent Baptist for Religious Liberty today about North Valley Baptist Church, an independent congregation in Santa Clara, California, that last night was given an order that they were not to meet to worship. And they chose to worship this morning, and the news that I got this afternoon was that their, I don't know if it's city or county, but their governing governmental body has said that they are going to fine this congregation $5,000 every time they meet to worship the Lord. Now that's that is amazing in this country. Under the First Amendment, I almost just can't believe that that is happening in America. Now, also, Christian schools, private Christian schools, are also running into, across this country, governmental interference. And whatever your view of COVID-19, because what I want to do is try to divide our congregation who take different positions. We're going to do what we can to divide people. I'm not going to make a statement about COVID-19. And in our congregation, I've told you this before, we have a broad spectrum, probably as broad as there is in the United States of America, in our congregation views on COVID-19. All right? So I'm going to try to divide you against each other over it. No, I'm not going to. But whatever you think of COVID-19, I hope that you think that as an American, we have been given the First Amendment, and I hope that you realize that under the cover of COVID-19, there are evil forces who are seeking to steal from us the First Amendment that is our right as an American. And it is something to be very concerned about. I hope you are concerned. We aren't worried, but we are concerned, and we want to pray for brothers and sisters in Christ, schools and churches that are experiencing this, even those who are religious organizations that I would have nothing in common with them theologically, and I think are dead wrong. Excuse me. Some I know are dead wrong theologically. But we still want them to have the right to be wrong. So let's pray about that. Would you pray with me about it? I'm going to lead us and thank God for the provision of the refreshment. And please make your way to the fellowship hall. Welcome Brother Kyle. And just let him know how glad you are and that he's sharing this year with us. So Lord, we thank you that you're a God who is faithful and true. The cross is everything. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he makes people free. Now, Lord, as we tonight think of your power through the cross to make people free, we particularly because you've placed us in this country, the United States of America, we in this country have a First Amendment that protects our right to worship. And it seems that this is being taken away and forced to come to a turning point. It is our prayer, Lord, that you would continue to undergird our brothers and sisters particularly, and really all Americans, regardless of what their creed, that they would have the freedom to express. And we pray that those forces that would love to take away the liberties that we have enjoyed in this country, that they would be defeated. So that's our prayer. And particularly for our brothers and sisters in Christian education and in local church ministry that are facing these challenges. Now, Lord, as we go from here and we enjoy our time of fellowship together, We are asking for your blessing upon the time. We thank you for all the things we'll enjoy, and that we'll be able to enjoy each other. And we do pray again that you would give your blessing to Brother Kyle as he shares this year with us in MAP ministry. And so we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.